The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. For such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord. So we have one more weekend before we end our liturgical year. And of course, next weekend, as we celebrate today, the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, next weekend is the 34th Sunday in Ordinary Time, but also it is the Feast of Christ the King. And since we are towards the end of the liturgical calendar, it is good to be able to go back and to reflect on the end times. And the Church urges us to reflect on the end times, especially regarding our readings today. Now, there are some people who are really deeply engrossed in the end times. Questions like, when is the world ending? Or what are the signs for us to know that the world is ending? Or there would be some people so engrossed about the end times, they would say, "Repent, change your ways, convert. You know, the world is ending soon. We have wars, we have insurrections, we have the pandemic. Change your ways. The world is ending soon." We well know that our life in this world is temporary. Everything is fleeting. We may plan for our future and our loved one's future, which is great, but we have to also take into account our final destiny. As we have heard in our gospel today, Jesus was in the temple. Now, a couple of times, I would say, especially when it comes to the temple, For a first century Jew, the temple is everything to them. It is the center of their Jewish belief, just like for us. You know, if the temple is the center of their Jewish belief, for us, Catholicism, the center of Catholicism, is of course Rome. You know, and for our Islamic brothers and sisters, that would be the Mecca. And so for the Jews, that was the center of their Jewish faith, the temple. Their life revolved around the temple. And I'm sure they also thought that it would last forever. So it was probably appalling to them or shocking to them when our Lord Jesus Christ said this, what we heard in our scriptures today. "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." In the beginning of the gospel, people were amazed. Yeah, they were admiring the temple, how beautiful it was. They were admiring the stones of the temple, costly stones. And so that's what our Lord Jesus Christ said. Now, 40 years later, right, he was absolutely correct. Eventually, as you, if you have already experienced to do a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, you will see what is left of the temple is just the Wailing Wall. That's left of the temple. And so the reason why it was so, because the rebellion of the Jewish, of the Jews against the Romans in 70 AD. That's when the temple was ruined. Now, for the Jews, or even for the Christian Jews who experienced the destruction of the temple, I'm sure they said that it was the end of the world. Why? The center of our own faith, the center of Jewish life, now in ruins. And it is just but natural for them to see that it's the end of the world. That's it. You know, the Jewish has been, the temple has been destroyed. But the thing is, they were wrong. And this made the shift about the end times, right, as not being so soon. Now, Christ, in our gospel today, highlights three signs that may influence people to believe that the end times is imminent. All right? So the first sign. See that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has come. Our Lord Jesus Christ clearly tells us to be on guard against false self-proclaimed prophets or visionaries or salvation preachers. Do not follow them or do not believe them. Have nothing to do with them, because all they do is creating fear in the hearts of people for their own selfish purposes. The second sign, when you hear wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Probably say the war between Ukraine and Russia. It's another example. Or during the peak of the pandemic, I was in the Philippines, and the brothers and I were glued to the TV watching the news about what was happening in the world. And of course, we would always look at the death toll. And it always keeps going up. It seems like it would never end, right? And so people would come to me and say that this was the sign that the world is ending, right? Or that we are being punished because God did not like what was happening to the world. Christ said, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid. When we look back at the history of the world, we look back at the history of our country, we look back at the history of the Catholic Church, we know that the world, our country, the Catholic Church, had endured an abundance of evils and catastrophes. And at some point, we may even say that it was the end of it all. But it wasn't. We're still here, gathered as a family, worshiping and praising God. People would even say that the year 2000 would be the end of the world. Well, 22 years later, we're still here, right? All these things have happened or are happening, but it is not yet the end. The third sign. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. Whenever we hear about persecutions happening nowadays because of the faith, we ask, what is the world coming to? Right? I remember a story about Father Benedict Rochelle. He was detained because he was accused of disturbing the peace by praying the rosary in front of an abortion clinic. Right? When a fellow detainee asked him what he was in for, Father Benedict Rochelle responded, smiling, says, praying. And then the fellow detainee said in disgust, what is the world coming to? You know? Many early Christians thought that persecution was another sign that the world was ending. But for Jesus, he reminds us that persecutions are inevitable. You cannot run away from it. Persecutions will happen. But even though it is inevitable, it plays an essential part in the life of the church. Now Christ said, "You will be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed." We are all called to live a life that is guided by moral values and principles based on the gospel message. But the gospel message, I tell you, will not be welcomed by all. Because the gospel message that we try to live out and apply in our own lives will challenge the ideology and the viewpoint of the secular world. To strive to live out the gospel message, not because we claim that we are righteous, or not because we claim that we are better than everybody, no. The reason why we strive to live the gospel message, as St. Paul says in our second reading, is because first, we do not neglect our responsibility as Christians. We need to do it. It is our responsibility. Because when that time comes, what are we going to say when God calls us to Himself if we do not do our responsibility? And the second one is, we give diligent attention to duty. And that duty is holiness. I would always like to say again what Mother Teresa of Calcutta said. Holiness is not the luxury of the few. It is the duty of you and me to be holy. And so we have to pay diligent attention to it. Now, what do we make of these readings, my dear brothers and sisters? Yes, there will be an end to things, even to the things that we feel must last forever. The world has experienced war. The world has experienced great calamities, the pandemic, plagues. Even in our own personal struggles, we can even think, because of the struggles or the heaviness of the struggle, we can even say to ourselves that our world is coming to an end. But how wrong it would be on our part if we believe all these. Christ reminds us today that we should remain steadfast in our faith and in His promises. Now, I'm sure that you've heard this a lot of times. We have to be steadfast in our faith. We have to be steadfast in His promise. But this is what will secure our lives as Christians, my dear brothers and sisters. This is what will deliver us from the fear of the end times. And it is interesting to know that such fear of the end times does not come from the anxiety brought about by the uncertainty of the future. That's not where the fear of the end time comes from. But the fear of the end times comes from is by the mentality and the kind of lifestyle that we live, thinking that we will have an eternity of tomorrows, thinking that we'll always have endless tomorrows. We are so confident that we should work hard to guarantee a secure future. But the question is, are we guaranteed to live long enough to enjoy what we have worked so hard for? We know what happened to the man who had all his wealth before him and convinced himself that he should relax, he should eat, he should drink, and be merry. God said to him, "You foolish one, tonight your soul is required of you." So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. People who are so engrossed about the end times and fear it is just another way of saying that they would rather make the proper changes or conversion in their lives at the last minute. Christ does not want that for us. He always gives us the opportunity for change and conversion every time we are gifted with a new day. And a lot of times, we take it for granted. We just have to learn how to make each day and every moment of each day count. So I suggest three things. First, make time to pray. You have 24 hours during the day, and you're not working 24 hours all throughout the day, right? Make time to pray. I'm not just saying find time to pray, because find time, you can just say, yeah, I'll find time to pray, but you don't do it. Oh, because I've been working, and you know, I forgot about it, I was too tired to pray. No. Make time to pray. We need a constant connection with God. Which leads us to the second part, the second suggestion. We allow the gospel message to guide whatever we say and do. Whatever we say and do, as it is guided by the gospel message, this is our purpose. This is doing the will of God for our life. Because when we allow the gospel message to guide what we say and what we do, it means that we are in constant awareness of God's presence in our own life. Why do you think we sin? Because we lose awareness of God's presence in our life. That's why we sin. That's why we fall. And third suggestion, we must learn to find Jesus in every person, and we must learn to find Jesus in every experience and moment of our life. Find Jesus. And I know it might be a cliche thing to say, but that's how it is. Every person that we deal with, Jesus is present. Every situation we are presented with, Christ is present. Because when we learn to see Jesus in people, and we learn to see Jesus in every moment and in every experience, then therefore it becomes an opportunity. No matter how bad a situation might be, if you learn to see Jesus in there, it turns it into an opportunity. What kind of opportunity? An opportunity to grow in holiness. Okay? This is how we can secure our lives and free us from that fear. So that whenever the end time comes, we can confidently say that we are ready. And when we say that we are ready, it means that we will not lack in anything. Amen. Together, let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father.